Chapter 35. Connections.
And that's how this last part fits into it. Tell me if you don't get anything, okay?
Senior Sister said as she finished drawing out the diagram for Sholan. She took the note, staring at it intently. Senior Sister Mei Ling was an odd teacher. Good, but strange. While her own teachers would explain in exacting detail how she needed to move her body and the proper stances she was expected to follow, book education was more freeform. She was assigned texts to study, then given a test. That which she did not comprehend was set as revision, and she was expected to figure it out herself. Or she was just told to research things on her own time. It was the way most cultivators did things. You either comprehended something, or you didn't. Many masters had no time for those who could not figure things out swiftly. Senior Sister had asked about her experience with medical techniques, and she had honestly answered none. She supposed some would find this more involved way of doing things to be weak and dim-witted. Like her martial instructors, every part of the formation was explained in exacting detail. The beginning made her head spin a bit. There was quite a lot of math involved. However, once she worked her way through that, along with a whole stick of chalk, they moved on. From why it was an octagon that was used, to which characters were used, to the character's placement within the octagon, all the way up to how to create the energy differential that would draw out chi. It was an involved process, but it was dramatically more straightforward than she'd been expecting once Senior Sister explained it. The initial concepts were complex, but once one grasped those, it was relatively simple in execution. The process didn't actually need the powerful reagents used, that was just what they had on hand. Normal chalk, any plant with chi, a copper wire, and clean water. The mortal instruments combined to form something exceeding the sum of their parts. It was so easy that a mortal could use it if they had a good head for numbers and a steady hand, and yet it had defeated demonic chi. Most medical formations were supposed to be extremely complex, requiring months of careful study to comprehend even the basest portions of them. This one had taken a few hours to explain not just how it worked, but why it worked. And now she had a copy of the formation in a gifted scroll.
Senior Sister, where did you learn this, if you don't mind my asking?
Sholan questioned.
Or did you craft this yourself?
Hmm?
Oh, in Pale Moon Lake City. The Grand Archives there has some interesting stuff. I didn't get to copy all of the book, but the formation was fascinating. I mean, it didn't work right at first. Father, uncle, and I had to swap out most of the characters, but the concept alone was fascinating.
The capital of the Azure Hills. It is a quaint place with few cultivators and no tournaments. Most of the true business of the Azure Hills takes place on Azure Cloud Summit.
How did you gain access to the Grand Archives? Surely this book must have been well guarded.
Sholan didn't know how the Grand Archives worked. It was a mortal institution for mortal information. To go to the Grand Archives would be a loss of face. It was simple information, not their profound secrets. To admit that their sect couldn't figure it out on their own would be unwise. Besides, the archive system was barely 300 years old. They couldn't have much good information simply because of their youth.
I walked in with my father, and while he was in a meeting, I found it in one of the carts. I asked one of the junior archivists if I could copy it, and he let me. The book was on formations, mathematics, their applications in the healing arts, and their interaction with chi. Most of the scroll was designated on the theory, and I haven't had much chance to use it.
Ah, so she was a powerful noble mortal before this. That makes sense.
Senior Sister shrugged.
I'm more knowledgeable on plants and mushrooms and their effects than formations, though. Formations are interesting in the more academic sense, but herbology is much more exciting.
Senior Sister got a disturbing gleam in her eye.
Did you know that you can make a tasteless laxative by combining yellow glass fungus and the juice from reed thistles?
Her face twisted into a smile. It was extremely vindictive, and Sholan felt a chill rise up her spine. Sholan learned more about debilitating concoctions and mortal medicine in that hour than she probably should have. It was almost a relief when Master Jin returned. He looked absolutely serene as he entered the house, steam rising from his body from wet clothes and a large carp held by the tail in his hand. The fish dangled there, resigned to its fate. The fox boy and the monkey boy walked in shortly after, fishes in their hands and looking incredibly amused.
There's no more ice on the pond, the fox boy said cheerily.
We got some nice fish, though.
The hidden master walked into the back room and returned to the house with a clay jar filled with water. The fish's head popped out of the jar, and it began slapping its pectoral fins on the edge of the vase, swinging from side to side happily. Sholan was silent, for the rest of the time was spent preparing dinner and taking deep breaths. It was not her place to question the hidden master. Not even when her dinner companions were a fish, two pigs, a rooster, a cat, and a rat. Not even when, after dinner, the fish launched itself out of its jar and flopped itself across the house into the river room and started acting like it had been starved all day, begging for the dishes and scraps. Mei Ling felt some kinship with Sholan. The poor girl looked utterly baffled as the carp got a bowl of food and began scarfing it down. With Hua Xi's addition at the dinner table, Jin's general weirdness had started to get to even her. Well, as she said to Sholan, you get used to it.
Hopefully.
Sholan was the only cultivator other than Jin she had really interacted with, and the woman was strange. Not Jin strange, but in a different way. Her emotions seemed magnified. With her guard down, everything showed on her face. The sheer joy she had at learning something new, the almost frightening anger at Yun and Go when they were staring, the naked shock, like her entire worldview had just been shattered when Rizu walked in, the awe, like she saw a god walking the earth when she was staring at Jin. The boys hadn't seen it. Yun Zhen and Go Zhen were too busy trying not to stare at Sholan's chest, and Jin was too preoccupied staring at Mei Ling herself. Mei Ling appreciated that her intended had eyes for no other woman, but she wouldn't have minded. Even she had stared a bit at Sholan's general Sholan-ness. Really, this poor woman's back. But Mei Ling didn't think Sholan was a bad person, and not just because the girl was an eager student who called her senior sister. Sholan even took notes when she was talking about herbology. Mei Ling's passion hadn't scared Sholan off. No, the first thing Sholan had tried to do was warn them of danger, and the next was to assure them that she would die before she let anything hurt them. The conviction with which she had made that oath, she meant it. Mei Ling would have to talk to Jin later. He seemed to be taking Sholan's oath lightly, like she wouldn't go and charge headfirst into certain doom if Jin asked her to. And Mei Ling was confident that the girl had some strange ideas about what was going on, with her calling Jin Master Jin. Did she think he was some kind of hidden master from the stories? It was preposterous. Mei Ling paused and thought it over. Actually, now that she thought about it, it was true.
Jin really is some kind of hidden master, isn't he? Powerful, with strong disciples, and living as to not be disturbed.
She looked over at her intended, and he perked up, giving her a big, goofy grin. Mei Ling grinned back for an entirely different reason. He would figure it out, or he wouldn't. The next day, Senior Sister and the two boys had to leave to return to Senior Sister's father. It was unfortunate, but the trio had been planning to leave when she had unexpectedly arrived and had already stayed longer than they'd anticipated. Senior Sister smiled at her.
Stay safe, Sholan, she said. I would be happy to see you again.
Mei Ling was given a ride worthy of a princess, a sleigh pulled by a spirit beast called Pipa, with little Rizu on her shoulder. The monkey boy, Go Zhen, began his endurance training as he was lashed to the boar and sent careening around the trail. These were undoubtedly strange beings. No spirit beast would allow itself to be yoked so easily and eagerly, but these creatures seemed to enjoy the treatment, eager to carry out Master Jin's will.
Are they not to be food, then? Is he trying to make them ascend to human form?
Sholan was healed, so she should be going back home as well, but something compelled her to stay. She was curious about the hidden master. Master Jin stared at her, as if he was wondering why she was still here. She swiftly made up an answer.
May I see Haki? I did not get to yesterday, since Senior Sister was teaching me.
The worst he could say was no. Master Jin grinned. He went into his house, then returned with a strangely shaped sticks and two sets of broken swords. They're a bit higher level than the Song Brothers, so you should be able to handle this, he declared. Sholan steeled herself for harsh training. She was taken downstream, past a pond with ice chunks strewn about it, and into a frozen lake. She first had to learn how to stick the blades to her shoes' soles with qi alone. It took nearly an hour, with Master Jin's gentle coaching. When she finally managed to stand up, he gave her a short moment to gain her balance. Master Jin's eyes turned predatory the moment she completed a lap around the lake without falling over. Then her real training began. He was grace and ferocity incarnate upon the ice. The blades on his feet propelled him at speed, even when he used barely a fraction of his might. He never struck her directly, but instead tweaked her balance, forcing her to correct or be sent into a humiliating sprawl. Perception, endurance, balance, timing. Haki was a multi-layered art. The blades on her feet tried their hardest to throw her to the ice. The speeding stone puck forced her to dodge or block with the stick. She was hunted relentlessly, always pushed to the edge, and forced to stay there. There was no mortal peril to this, yet being hounded by a more powerful cultivator was still thrilling. He had found her limits, like all great masters did, and then proceeded to push. "Come," he demanded. "Stop trying to hit me and hit me!" And then he forced her to go on the offensive. He danced around her blows, sprays of ice slashing out from their bladed feet. He blocked every shot at the goal. Sholan tried her hardest to hit Master Jin, throwing herself again and again at him, and each time he dodged, until she finally managed to strike him with her stick. It felt like slamming into a steel wall. He didn't slide at all from his position, even on the skates. He merely nodded, smiled, and retook the initiative. Each tap nearly sent her sprawling. Each correction was firm, but not harmful. Each goal slipped past her guard with ease. Finally, she could take no more and begged respite. Master Jin had a great smile upon his face.
"Oh, that was great fun, wasn't it?"
he asked, looking cheerful. Fun? She supposed it was. She put on a tentative smile and he helped her to her feet. They took a slow path back to the house. It was stunningly beautiful here. "I'll go draw a bath so you can clean up. We'll have some more fun after." His grin was sly as he stared at her.
Ah, she felt her smile turn brittle. Well, such a thing was within his rights, and his betrothed was not here to comfort him.
"Yeah, we're gonna play answer go," he chirped. "Winner gets to ask the loser one question. Dare you challenge me?"
She paused.
"Wait, what? You are not..."
"Not what?" he asked, tilting his head to the side. Sholan smiled tentatively.
"Nothing, Master Jin. Forgive this Tsai Sholan, but she will be challenging your might."
The hidden master drew her a bath. It was strange, so strange, to be served by one so much more powerful than her, but Master Jin did not seem to care. She was his guest, and so she would be served. The bath was fragrant with herbs and wonderfully warm. It was heavenly to sore muscles. But some small part of her still doubted, still thought that what he'd said was a euphemism. It pained her to have such doubts, but this world was not kind to women who trusted. She would do as he asked, but...
"Master Jin, I am finished," she said,
her body wrapped in a towel. She stood before him and waited. Waited for him to change his mind. Waited for hands to take her towel off. He perked up, then nodded to her as she stood waiting. "You're done? Awesome. My turn. Come on, Badi, let's get cleaned up." He brushed past her, along with the rooster, before pausing and turning around. "Your clothes are by the fire," he told her, and entered the bathhouse. Sholan stood alone in the house, save for the spirit beast cat that was glaring at her. Indeed, her clothes were by the fire. She picked them up. They were warm and clean. She looked at the table. There was a go board on it, the pieces arranged to play. There was no touching, no grasping hands or lust-filled eyes. She was safe. Sholan hugged her clothes to her chest and laughed until she started crying. I sighed and my eyes roved over the board, one hand scratching Tigger's back. She really didn't like Sholan for some reason, and I didn't know why, constantly glaring and turning her nose up at her. I looked up at the girl. Well, she wasn't really a girl. She was older than I was, at 21, but she looked a bit younger than me, maybe. Her face had a kind of ageless quality to it. My first ever victory in a game of Go yielded that piece of information. I'm pretty sure she threw the first match because she promptly kicked my ass the second time, looking confused. All right, ask away. I threw the ball in her court, wondering what she wanted to know. She pondered her question, and finally, she answered.
Master Jin, do you have any wisdom that you think is essential?
Always remember a clean pair of socks, I responded firmly. She pouted at me. I laughed and shook my head. Well, that was a broad question, wasn't it? But she is a cultivator, so she probably wants something profound. I don't know if I could do profound. Remember that everything is connected, I finally settled on. The water we drink, the air we breathe, the food we eat. Everything has some part of it that leads into each other. Disrupting one thing can disrupt many others. Fixing one thing can fix many others.
Master Jin, Sholan asked as they were getting ready for bed.
Yes, Sholan?
If it is not too presumptuous of me to ask, is there a place that I could meditate this night?
He considered the question for a moment. The roof might be best, he eventually told her, and she bowed her head in thanks. She traveled to the roof of the house where she could be out in the bracing cold. She turned her attention to the strange snow golem briefly before deciding that it was some sort of chi construct. A brief flash of insight revealed that a web of power circulated through it like the web that circulated through this entire domain. The land here was shy. It was unwilling to reveal itself, and she could only conclude that it was by design. This hidden master was the strangest and most eccentric cultivator she had ever heard of. His methods were utterly alien to her, but what power she could sense was undeniable. His gifts to her were unparalleled. His future wife was strange, too. Strange, but kind in her own way, terrifying concoctions aside. She had been fun to talk to and a wealth of information. Sholan closed her eyes. She circulated her chi properly for the first time in 3 months. 3 months on the road, chasing Sun Ken without any rest. Her body was tense as she focused. It was a balm to feel her energy moving throughout her body once more. She would soon be able to return home with Sun Ken's sword and a new technique, return home victorious when she had done nothing. She frowned as she thought about it. Sholan. She nearly jumped out of her skin at Master Jin's voice. He handed her a cup of tea. Her beating heart calmed. Here, drink this. It will ward away the cold, he instructed her. The tea was warm. It was fragrant and herbal and tasted delicious. She relaxed. She gazed out over the land. It was beautiful, even covered in snow. The air was fresh and pure, the freshest and purest she had ever smelled, even more so than the air of her own sect in the grassy hill on which they lived. She let the peace of this place fill her soul. It was beautiful. She closed her eyes once more, feeling the threads of energy, protecting and invigorating. It was all connected. When she opened them again under the dawn light, she was at the fourth stage of the initiate's realm, the lingering taste of the herbal tea on her lips. It was time for her to leave. Sholan was a dutiful daughter and so would finish her mission to report Sun Ken's death. No matter how much she currently wished to get on her hands and knees and beg Master Jin to take her as a disciple. The fourth stage. The fourth stage. It had long eluded her, and in a single night, even after being grievously injured, she had managed it. She was prepared to do anything he asked of her. What were his orders? Surely he would have some task that she would do after she reported Sun Ken's death. Would it be to gather some herb or powerful cultivation ingredient? Would it be to strike down his enemies? Now, we like our privacy here, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't spread the word, said Master Jin, as he handed her a bag of rice. She clasped her hands and bowed.
On my life and honor, none shall disturb you, Master Jin.
He smiled at her and nodded, accepting her words. Other than that, don't be a stranger. It's always nice to have someone to talk to. Our wedding is after the first snows melt if you feel like coming. She nodded. She would not miss it, even if the heavens tried to prevent her from coming. Master Jin gave her a small bow of respect, his hands clasped. Then good luck on your journey, Tsai Sholan. May fate favor you. That was it. No orders of repayment, no demands for her. He'd given her a gift and a blessing. Tears sprang to her eyes.
This Tsai Sholan will never forget the kindness you have done her.
Sholan's face was parallel with the ground as she showed the hidden master great respect. She forced herself upright and began her march out of his faram and headed back towards her home. She paused outside the gate and turned. Beware of chicken, the sign beside the maple leaf said. The rooster watched her from on top of the posts, the profound spirit beast's gaze intense. He bowed. This time, she bowed back without reservation.